If you have your Bibles, I want you to turn to Genesis, very first book of the Bible, Genesis chapter 3. Genesis chapter 3. We are on the second message of a series entitled The Original Blueprints for the Family. What we're doing is taking a look at the scriptures to find out what are the blueprints for a family. Our culture is giving all kind of definitions as to what a family should be. How a family should be made up, what the roles are. So we thought we'd take a look at what the Bible says. Let's go back to the original blueprints and see what it says. We looked at Genesis chapter 1 and 2 and took a big wide angle view of creation. And there's some things that we discovered. The first thing we discovered is that male and female have equal value. Male and female have equal value. Both of them bear the image of God and the likeness of God. And it says that both are equally endowed with the image of God. God didn't take a portion of his image and give it to a man or a portion and give it to a woman. They are equally endowed. And both are unique and special to God. Male and female, there's equality across the board. But then the second thing we saw is that God did set up a role in marriage. And he says that Adam had leadership responsibility in the family. And we talked about this in organization. Somewhere, somebody's got to be the leader. And so God assigned that leadership responsibility to Adam. Adam was created first. Then Adam was instructed by God to lead with his word. He told him, you can eat of all the trees of the garden, but don't eat of this one that's right here in the center, the knowledge of good and evil, and tree of knowledge of good and evil. So he gave him his word and said, lead by my word. Then Adam was given a helper that was suitable for him. That was when God created the woman. And then it says that Adam named his helper. God says, you've got the ability to name her. And he named her woman and came out from man. And then it said, we closed out with the man is told to leave and initiate a new household. It says that the man was to leave father and mother and initiate this new household. So man had the leadership. But at the close of the message, I just deposited a quick thought, and that was that leadership is not the same as dominance, okay? And so the men that were hearing that Sunday, and you hear that this Sunday, don't go running out of here saying, hey, Danny says, I'm the man, I'm the leader, I'm the numero uno, I'm the big cheese, I'm the el presidente. You know, don't get that kind of attitude, because there was a guy that had that attitude. In fact, it was a man and a woman that went to some conference where some teacher was way over the top about this leadership issue. I mean, he was way over the top. And when they got back in the car, that husband says, this is what I'm talking about. I'm loving this speaker. This is what we're talking about. This talks about me. I'm the boss. I'm the guy. I'm the one that directs the ship. And you need to listen to me because it's all going to be different now because I'm the leader of the home. Wife didn't say a word. She just was getting hot. And he just a talking. He was just bragging. They got to the house. As soon as they got to the house, she slams the door, runs into the house. He slams the door, and he runs into the house. And he tells her, stop right there. He says, you better straighten up because you know from right now, everything's going to change. I'm going to be the boss, and everything's going to be the way that I say it'll be. And for the next 3 weeks, he did not see his wife. But then the beginning of the fourth week, he could see a little bit through this one eye when the swelling started going down on there. You get the message, guys? Listen, this is not male domination. This is leadership. When a man dominates a woman, he is really a boy thinking he's a man. That's not a man, and that's not leadership. Biblical leadership is when the man cherishes his wife, leads her in the direction that God is directing him to lead her. So there is a difference in dominance and leadership, and we just need to make sure that we fully understand that. Now, last week, the last thing that we closed off on was that man was to take the initiative. And I remember I talked to the students over here because I said, you know, it starts as a young person. And this leadership stuff as a man taking the initiative starts with young people. And it starts with guys asking girls out and to where you take the initiative rather than the girls asking the guys out. It takes the initiative of the guy starting the relationship, and then I think that most girls want the guy to propose. I've never seen it where a girl is proposed to the guy. You see, it's the woman yearns for that day when that right someone will come up to them and get on his knee and hide the engagement ring in the salad dressing or whatever it is, and will ask that person, propose him, will you marry me? And he takes that leadership, he initiates it. And then that means that that initiation takes place in the marriage relationship. If you initiate the dating relationship, you initiate the proposal and the engagement, then you also take leadership in a marriage relationship. Now, I didn't know whether to say this, but I'm just going to go on and say this. Okay, I want y'all to just listen up real close. I think prom is this weekend for Vestavia. Is that correct? All right. So, and there are other schools probably got proms during this time. This is a time where, guys, you can step up in leadership. I read in Newsweek magazine where it says 13-year-olds today are experiencing what an 18-year-old experienced in my generation. Now, just to put that in context, what it says is that what you are, for you that are 13-year-olds, as you're in middle school, you're running into and experiencing the same things that I didn't experience until I went off to college. That's kind of scary. But what that does is it puts a responsibility of leadership with you. If you're going to experience those things, then it's time for you to step up and be the man. There's a time in every young man's life where the boy sits down and the man stands up. And this would be your opportunity. Now, I'm encouraging that during this time of prom, that that if you've got a date, if you don't have one yet, it's probably a little late, but if you got a date, you step up as the man and you show the initiative and you be the one that promotes purity and honesty and holiness in that relationship. You know, well, let me tell you what's sad. Let me tell you what's sad. What's sad is what our culture is doing. In Arizona, the school district is the Bisbee school district voted 4-1 to give little prom bags to all the celebrants that would come in for the prom. And that means that when you come into the big dance or so, they'll give you a bag. And inside that bag, there's a frame for you to put your picture on. If you've had your picture, there's some balloons and stuff. There's some breath mints, candy, and all these little memorabilia, and a condom in there. And they voted 4-1 to say they need to do this. And their reasoning is that, well, you know, we just want to protect the kids because they're probably going to be sexually active at that time. I want you to hear me real straight. What they're saying is you're a bunch of animals that you cannot control yourself. And I want to tell you that I believe, and God's Word believes, that you're more than that. And what it means is that you've been created in the image of God. And because you've been created... And because you've been created in the image of God, the Bible says, it says right there in the scriptures, that there is no temptation that will come to you that God will not give you an exit sign and that God will not give you the power to overcome it. And so where does that responsibility? Responsibility resides with both the guy and the girl, but I'm challenging the men to step up and be the leaders. And you be the leader and you set the course on there and take the initiative. You see, to take the initiative means that there takes courage. And what's behind courage is leadership. And when you take the initiative, you show courage, then you're being a leader. And when you treat a girl like that, there will be no regrets, I will guarantee you. And there'll be no regrets at the end of prom night. There'll be no regrets at the end of your senior year. There'll be no regrets if you continue that through college. And when you stand here and you profess your love and devotion to another girl and you want to get married to her, there'll be absolutely no regrets when you come to that point. So that's just to kind of get you started out. That's why this is so important about understanding the roles. And it starts as young people. And you see, the same story I give to young people needs to be repeated to adults here. Because there's some adults here that you're not really acting like men. You're acting like little kids. And we need to take that responsibility. And God gives it to us. But you know what the scripture shows us? There are disastrous consequences of leadership letdowns. And whenever we let down in leadership, there are going to be consequences. It's found in chapter 3 in the book of Genesis. And it didn't just affect the first family, but it affects every one of us what took place. Are you ready? Let's follow with it. Look at the very first verse over here. The very first verse, it says, "Now the serpent was more crafty than any other beast of the field that the Lord God had made. And he said to the woman, 'Did God actually say, you shall not eat of any tree in the garden?'" Now, the serpent, who is Satan, is beginning a conversation with the woman. And so Satan is asking, He says you, that's plural, which makes you believe that it is Eve here and Adam is standing over here. And it says, did God actually say you shall not eat of any tree in the garden? Ain't it interesting how he phrased that? Did God say that you shall not eat of any tree of the garden? Now, that makes God look like a real killjoy, isn't it? Did he say you couldn't eat of any tree in the garden? No, that's not what God said at all. What God said is you can eat of every tree in the garden freely except for one tree. There's just one tree. But you can eat freely, and some have interpreted that word, you can eat freely of any tree, of saying, hey, eat as much as you want. You look over there and say, can I get three oranges? Get four oranges if you want them. Are you serious? Yeah, eat freely. You've got all this freedom in the Garden of Eden. You can do anything right here. Eat of any of these trees. But there's just one tree. It's right there in the center. The tree of the knowledge of good and evil. Just don't eat that one. But what Satan did was he began to make it look like God's just a mean God. And he said, did he really say that you couldn't eat of any tree in the garden? So he begins to excite her curiosity. Well, then all of a sudden she begins to engage in some dialogue. And she comes to verse 2 and says this. And the woman said to the serpent, we may eat of the fruit of the trees in the garden. But God says, you shall not eat of the fruit of the tree that's in the midst of the garden, neither shall you touch it lest you die. Well, now he didn't really ever say you can't touch it. So I don't know if she just kind of added that because she was thinking about, you know, hey, maybe God is kind of mean. Maybe he said, hey, not only are you not supposed to eat of it, but you're not supposed to touch the fruit over there. So she's kind of caught up in this dialogue, thinking this could be a little bit more stringent than expected. And then all of a sudden, he attacks God's word. And then he looks at it, but the serpent said to the woman, you will not surely die. You will not surely die. In the original Hebrew, it is written as if the serpent is throwing back his head and laughing, going, oh, you're not going to die? Come on. It says right here, he says, you're not going to die. For God knows that when you eat of it, your eyes will be opened and you'll be like God, knowing good and evil. Listen, your eyes are going to be open. You're going to be just like God. You're going to know what is good. You're going to know what's evil. You know, everything that God knows, you're going to know. No longer are you going to be under him here in the garden. No longer are you going to be a second-rate employee. You're going to be right up there with him. And he knows that. And then you eat that fruit, it's going to be just like that. Well, she started hearing this and began to think about this, that this might not be too bad. Now we're getting ready to run into some things I want you to write down. You see the scene is set. Serpent talking to Eve, the woman, and as he's talking to her, he's got her curiosity up, and this is what you find. Number one, passivity in leadership is damaging. Passivity in leadership is damaging. There was a temptation that took place right here that was seeking to corrupt and reverse God's original social and spiritual order. And it seeks to turn all that we've just talked to you about, to twist it, distort it, pervert it, and turn it on its head. Now, here's the discussion. The serpent is clearly an enemy of the family because he's questioning God. And the serpent is talking to the woman, who's later named Eve. As the serpent is talking to Eve and she's engaged in this conversation, I have one question. And that question is, where's Adam? Where's your husband? Where is he in all this? Now it says, you plural, and later on we're going to see where she takes a bite of that fruit and she gives it to her husband over here. The question is, where's Adam? In all of this conversation, where's Adam? You know where he is? He's just standing off to the side, looking it all up. What should he have been doing? What was his responsibility? God says, you are to lead, and you are to lead with my word. Who was told about the tree? Adam was told about the tree. God gave him that instruction. He says, and you're responsible for passing that on to the woman. And whenever the serpent came and began to tempt her about eating of that fruit, and she began to get a little confused, the man was time for him to step up and step between the serpent and her and say, it's just time for you to buzz off, okay? God said we could eat freely of any of the fruits here, but not to eat of that, lest we die, and we're going to stick with what God has to say.
And I'm going to step here and I'm going to protect my wife at this particular time because there may be a little bit of confusion and I'm going to step up. But he didn't. And because of his passivity, he just stepped back. And because of his passivity in leadership, then you get ready to pick up what happens. And this is what happens. She gets enticed, she gets engaged, and then all of a sudden she eats. Verse 6. So when the woman saw that the tree was good for food and that it was a delight to the eyes and that the tree was to be desired to make one wise, she took of its fruit and she ate, and she also gave some to her husband who was with her, and he ate. So what happened is she, who just took the lead, folks? The woman. She ate, and when she ate, she gave it to her husband, and her husband did what? He ate. Was he leading or was he following? He was following. And what he did in his passivity is he just followed. She made a mistake, made a bad choice, went to him. He followed that same bad choice. And when that happens, in this particular instance, verse 7, then the eyes of both were open and they knew that they were naked, and they sewed fig leaves together and made themselves loincloths. And they heard the sound of the Lord God walking in the garden in the cool of the night, and the man and his wife hid themselves from the presence of the Lord, from the Lord God among the trees of the garden, hiding from God. They were ashamed of what they had done. You see, passivity in leadership is damaging. The man was given the responsibility to lead and to initiate and to take charge. He was to do the direction of the instruction of God's word and to lead his home to a whole new spiritual ground. Instead, he was totally passive. She was leading, he was following. But then again, in thousands of homes right here in our nation, and then in hundreds of homes right here in our community, that's happening right now, to where men are just being passive. And they're putting the burden of responsibility on their wives to lead those homes. Here's a woman, she's confused, she's trying to make sense of it, and yet she has a man who stands here and does absolutely nothing. That's passivity. And when you have passivity, then what you're doing is you're giving up your leadership. When you're giving up your leadership, there are going to be consequences, and those consequences are going to be damaging, and they're going to be disastrous. So what happened? Well, pick up in verse 9. But the Lord God called to the man and said to him, "Where are you?" And he said, "I heard the sound of you in the garden, and I was afraid because I was naked, and I hid myself." God said, "Who told you that you were naked? Have you eaten of the tree of which I commanded you not to eat?" And the man said, "The woman whom you gave to be with me, she gave me the fruit of the tree, and I ate it." All right. Now, there's a direct question that was asked of Adam. Did you eat of the fruit of the tree? His answer was what? Well, it was the woman. And what did he say about the woman? "That you gave me." All right. So whose fault was it? Ultimately, it was who? It's God's fault. You see, it was the woman's fault because she gave me the fruit, but then you're the one that gave me the woman. So actually, it's your fault that I did this. What Adam did was he just played the victim card. I'm a victim. Do we play the victim card in the United States of America today? We do, don't we? We're not supposed to, but we do all the time. I'm a victim. It's not my responsibility. I didn't do that. It was this person. The victim card was played at the beginning in Genesis chapter 3. And he said, "It's not mine. It was the woman, and then you gave me this." Let me tell you, guys, whenever a man plays the victim card, you just tore up the manhood card. And when you ever play that victim card, you are stepping down from being a man, and you're just tearing up your manhood card. Never play the victim card. If you're a leader, you step up and you take responsibility. And when God said, "Did you eat of that?" that was a time for the boy to sit down, the man to stand up and say, "I messed up." But no, it was playing the victim card there. Again, passivity in leadership. And with that passivity in leadership, you continue to see dangerous and damaging results. Now, here's something else that's going to really shake you up, guys, if you're not already uncomfortable. Number 2, God holds the man accountable for what happens in the family. God holds the man accountable for what happens in the family. Verse 9. Look what it says in verse 9. But the Lord God called to the man. Who did he seek out? He sought out the man. Help me with this. Who ate the fruit first? The woman, right? All right, the woman ate the fruit first, then the man. And when God was calling out someone, he didn't call out the woman, he called out the man. Was he on a fact-finding mission? No, he knew. God knew exactly what happened. But he called out the man. Why call the man? The woman's the one over here and ate it. You know why? Because the man was the leader and was given the responsibility of guiding and protecting and caring for his wife. And so what God did was he called out the man. And he called to the man and he says, "Where are you?" Man had to come and answer to him. You see, he is calling the man to the account because he's the CEO of the family. It is his responsibility. Now, we are a sports-crazed society and a sports-crazed town. And whenever our team has a miserable season, who usually gets the brunt of the blame? The coach. It's not the players, it's the coach. And so after you have a few miserable seasons, what do you do with that coach? Fuck, whoa, you guys are tough. It's a rough crowd. But that's exactly right. Oh, you may change a player or two here, but the one that gets fired is the coach. And the coach gets fired. And why is that? Well, he has the responsibility of who he plays and how he develops them, etc. So he takes the leadership. And in this particular instance, the woman went off onto her own path. But the person who should have been in charge of all that, who provided that environment of protection and safety and encouragement and understanding, was negligent. And so God calls him to account here. It's because the man has been assigned the responsibility of leadership. Now, because of what happened, God went to the serpent and he put a curse on the serpent. He said, "You're going to crawl on your belly and some other stuff." Then he looks to the woman. But I want to skip those. I'm going to go right to the man. Look what it says in verse 17. And to Adam he says, "Because you have listened to the voice of your wife and have eaten of the tree of which I commanded you, you shall not eat of it. Cursed is the ground because of you. And in pain you shall eat of it all the days of your life. Thorns and thistles it shall bring forth for you, and you shall eat the plants of the field. By the sweat of your face you shall eat bread till you return to the ground. For out of it you were taken, for you are dust, and to dust you shall return." What he said is, toiling the ground is going to be hard now. Because all of creation is getting ready to go through this fall. And so there are going to be thorns and thistles, and everything's not going to be productive. You're going to have to work really hard by the sweat of your brow. And then you're going to die, even as I told you were. Physically, you will die, and you will return to the dust of the earth. So that was your curse. What did he do wrong? Why did God curse him? What did it say in verse 17? Because you've listened to the voice of your wife. Because you listened to the voice of your wife. Now, is that a put down for a woman? Not at all. It's a put down on the fact that she was leading and he was following. That's the put down. You see, this man knew the information. His manliness should have called him forward to be a directional leader, an overall protector and guide, but instead he totally disregarded that calling over his life and he listened to her rather than do what a real man does, and that is to initiate truth. And in that particular instance, when she was caught up in that temptation, he as the man should have stepped forward. And God said, "Because you listened to the woman." And that is because she made a mistake and she turned around and you began to follow that mistake. That's why you're going to have this curse on you. Now, don't take this too extreme and say, "Well, great, walk out of here. I'm never supposed to listen to my wife." It doesn't say that at all. What he's saying, and in cases when man is supposed to take leadership, he is supposed to be the leader. He is to initiate. There's not to be passivity. When there's a time for spiritual protection, he's to step forward. When there is protection, guidance, direction, the man is to step forward and to take that leadership on. And God held him accountable for that. That's why when he went through the garden, he looked for the man. He didn't look for the woman. That's why when he cursed the man, he said, "It's because you listened to her, because you allowed her to lead and you follow." And I think if we could sit down with God and hear more of the conversation, it was that I had given you everything you needed to do to handle that temptation. You should have never let her get in that position. And when she was vulnerable in that position, you should have stepped up at that moment and brought protection to your family and protection to your wife. And you didn't. And because you didn't, these will be the consequences, and this is the damage. And that is why young people, I challenge these young guys that as you continue to grow up, that you be the man that takes the initiative, that grows in God's word, and be a man that can step up in those most important times and protect the person that you're dating, the person you're engaged to, the person you get married to, and be that man. And that's what God calls us to do. And he says he's going to hold us accountable. And listen, I'm going to tell you, When we die and we step before God, he's going to look at us guys here in this room that are married, and he's going to look at us and he's going to say, where were you? Where were you? And he's not going to blink when he asks the question. Because we have that responsibility. But you see, well, I want to tell you this, and I've told this to other groups, I wouldn't have it any other way. As a man, I want that responsibility. I don't want to wimp out. I want to have that accountability, that responsibility. I want to be able to stand in front of Janice and Lauren, and I want to be that spiritual leader there. I want to be that protector. I want to be that guide. And I hope that every man here wants to do that. But that's the way God set it up. That's the way God created us. And he put that kind of like a DNA genetic code of leadership within us as men that says this is what we're supposed to do. Okay? Now, listen. You can look at all the families and difficulties, and usually as a man goes, so goes the family. And men, if we can step up and be the leaders of our home, we can see families strengthen and stay together. Let me give you a third, just real quick. There will always be a struggle of leadership in the family. So guys, if you're sitting here today saying, well, I don't know, sometimes we just struggle with this thing. Hey, it's always going to happen. You know what it says in verse 16? When he talks to the woman, he says, to the woman, I will surely multiply your pain in childbearing. Every woman here who's given birth to a child is saying, that woman, I'll tell you what. Why? Woo! Well, that's because we're going through this pain when we have these children. And it says, though, here, that in pain you'll bring forth children, but your desire shall be for your husband, and he shall rule over you. Now, there's two different ways of looking at that. Some believe that it says your desire is a sexual desire that you'll have for your husband. And so even though there's the pain of childbirth, there's still that sexual desire for a husband, and that kind of keeps you coming together. But really, most believe that when it says your desire for your husband is a word that means that you want to take leadership, is that you're going to have a desire to lead in that family. And it says, but no, he is to rule over you. And so it means that there will probably be a struggle on there. But guys, if I can just tell you, and I can just tell you from a lot of personal experience, a wife at times will take leadership when there's a vacuum of leadership. And that means when the man's not leading, that's when she usually steps forward the most. And so men, we need to continue to be those leaders. But there will be a struggle. And then the last thing is this, in spite of Adam's sin, man retains his leadership, calling, and responsibility. You say, well, what happened since all this fell apart? Well, after all that fiasco took place, look what happens in verse 20. The man called his wife's name Eve because she was the mother of all the living. Guess what Adam did? He renamed her. Remember we said when he named the animals, it showed he had leadership over creation? Well, now what he did was he named his wife. He named her woman. Again, it showed leadership. Well, at this time, he renamed her Eve. And because one of her purposes of life is that she would bring forth life, which is what happens today. And so when he renamed her, he says, I still have that responsibility of leadership over you. And it reaffirms that even after the fall, man has leadership responsibilities in the home. The original blueprint for the family, male and female are created equal. And don't let anyone ever try to, if you're a woman here, don't let anyone ever try to put you down and say you're not equal with a man. You are. You're created in God's image. And so there's that equality there. But there is a role that's been given. And that's the man has been given the role of a leader in a family. There's a responsibility that goes along with that. And so if we continue that leadership, we can have the homes like God has designed for us to have. But when the leadership lets down, then there are disastrous consequences to that. My hope and prayer for each one of us today is that as we're in these relationships and doing this relational dance that like we talked about last week, that leadership role and the fellowship role will be accepted, and we move together and we develop healthy homes that are salt and light to our community. Strong homes, building strong communities, and that God will be glorified, okay? Let me ask you to bow your heads and close your eyes for just a moment. Lord, I thank you so much that your word is very clear as to what our responsibilities are. Sometimes it's tough. We understand that. But yet we know that it is for our good. And we know the way that you have created us and set the social order in our world is for us to be able to operate according to your will, to where you will be honored and glorified, and that we can live lives of abundance and fulfillment. And so, Lord, we pray that as we complete this day of worship, that we'll take a serious look at where we are in our relationship with you, and then have the strength and have the courage to make those decisions for you. For it's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen.